Amen, amen. Thank you, Kenny. So powerful. And then when I think about that story of your mom being liberated from Guam, and that she had the American flag in her bra, it's amazing. We have a great country, and happy 4th of July to all of you. My name is Greg Monk. I'm one of the pastors here. I'm so excited to bring you God's word today. And we've been in a series called Marks of a Disciple. And last week, JP talked about supernatural identity. And so what I want to do this week is I want to talk about using that true identity, our true identity, so we are serving like Jesus. And that's the title of my message today, Serving Like Jesus. He is the best example on how to serve. And so when you leave here, I want you to feel equipped that you know how to do that. But before we dive into that, I have the perfect story from my own life about how I stepped into serving, and you're gonna love it. But let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your church, God. Lord, I thank you for using a wretch like me. Lord God, for calling me, for having a mark on my life, God, and for using me. Lord, I am nothing without you, and I thank you for this time right now, for this moment. Lord God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak through me to those that need to hear this message, Lord God. Lord, I pray that we would leave here changed. Lord, would you use your church for your purpose, God? Lord, help us to understand what that is. Help us to serve like you, Jesus. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Well, I wrote a book called The Guide, and I was the guide in Marine Corps boot camp. That is the platoon leader. And then Jesus became my guide. So my memoir is titled The Guide, and it's being edited right now, and hopefully have it by the end of the year. But I wanted to read a story from chapter 8. It's reentry. And what this is the first chapter of my new life after war. The section of the book's called After War. And the first story is called The Protector. And many of you guys that have been to the men's retreat have heard the story. It's a crazy story. There's two parts of it. There's the first half and the second half. Most of the men here have heard the crazy second half story. I'm going to tell you the first half of the story just for time's sake. So I want to share that with you. Here it is. It wasn't long after we started marriage counseling with Pastor Dan that he asked me to be a counselor at the Anaheim District Church of the Nazarene Youth Camp. I said, Dan, I can't be a youth counselor. I don't know enough about the Bible, and I might cuss at the kids. He said, it's only through the blood of Jesus that any of us are worthy, so come. Kimber and I talked about it, and I finally said yes. I took leave for a week from the Marine Corps and went up to Idlewild Pines. The Anaheim District was made up of 75 smaller churches from all around Los Angeles, San Bernardino, and Orange County. I got to be the counselor for a bunch of kids from Long Beach, Compton, Maywood, and Linwood. I had been to boot camp but never went to camp as a kid, so I was excited. I brought all my Marine gear. And these inner city kids, man, they were flowing some serious attitude. So I ran the cabin like I was a platoon in boot camp. I picked one of them as the cabin leader, the guide. Whenever they didn't listen, I pulled them out of the cabin, no matter what time it was, no matter what they were wearing. We would do calisthenics, jumping jacks, push-ups, leg lifts, all the stuff I did in the pit in boot camp, dirt angels, and walking in circles around a tree. It didn't take long before the cabin, they did exactly what I said when I said it. It was classic. One of them said to me, you're not my dad. You can't tell me what to do. I said, really? Is that so? Well, this week, I'm your mommy, daddy, and your worst nightmare combined if you don't do what I said. When they heard I was a combat veteran, they were terrified and super respectful. Yeah. There was a rumor amongst my cabin that I slept with my eyes open. So that's why they never snuck out, is what they told me. The truth is, I slept like a baby. They were just so afraid to get caught, they made up legends about me. what sealed the deal for all of us in the cabin that first year was my story of how I grew up. My story was their story. They had deadbeat dads in and out of jail. So did I. They had drug addicted and drug dealing dads. So did I. They had dads that abandoned them. And so did I. It didn't matter the color of our skin. We were connected by our mutual pain stemming from the same thing, an absentee father, which I have realized is the cause for the majority of pain and suffering in any culture or community in the world. Yes, it is. So man, get right with God. For the record, before this, I had never supervised any junior hires before, all right? And I just had fought in combat and got back from the war. I was learning as I went, as I tell you this next part. One day, I was walking back to the cabin from a meeting when one of the white kids and black kids from my cabin got into an argument. As I walked up, they were fighting, one yelling, "White trash, hit Casper," and the other yelling the N-word. I yelled, "Knock it off." As I run up to the scene, they don't stop fighting. So I picked them both up off the ground by the back of their shirts, rushed them to the side of the cabin, trying to get them away from the rest of the boys. I was upset and moving quickly. They were floundering, tripping over themselves, trying to keep up with me. With one in each hand, I get them to the side of the cabin, turn them around, and grab the front of their shirts at the chest. In a single motion, I pick them up, both at the same time, and slam against the wall. Their feet are dangling off the ground now. I told you, don't judge me. Don't judge me. It was the 90s. So my forearms are across both of their chests, holding them up against the cabin wall. As I looked at them, they have total bug eyes. And they're in total fear, not saying a word, thinking I'm going to kill them. And I said, "I told you to knock it off." They frantically say, "Sorry." I go on, not missing a beat, yelling, "This is a church camp. This is not the week to bring that racist crap up the hill. When we're trying to learn how to be like Jesus." "Next time you fight, you're going to have to fight me." I said, "Don't judge me, man." It was the early 90s before helicopter and lawnmower parents started ruining kids. By not letting them fail and not teaching them how to work through adversity. I can't believe I did that. Don't call social services. I guess I probably wouldn't have been in ministry if it happened today. But it was a long time ago. It was 30 years ago for everyone. Something like that. Is that right? 30 years ago. I can't believe that. Way to be Christ-like to the kids, Greg. Well, it worked. I never had a problem with anyone in the cabin again. And those two kids became best friends. On that Friday night, Dan asked me to give my testimony about my life. I was like, "Are you sure? Just be yourself, Greg." So Dan invites me up after a time of worship, and I tell them my story and hit many of the main themes you're reading about in this book. It was so raw, authentic, and real. They were glued to every word. I think I accidentally said the S word during the testimony, and the junior hires didn't even flinch or laugh at that. At the end of my testimony, I asked them to pray for me because I still hated my dad, who was currently in jail at the time. I didn't pull any punches with them and told them I knew that that only through the grace of Christ working in me would I learn to forgive my father. I remember powerfully experiencing the presence of God after giving my testimony. During the final worship, I was overwhelmed with emotion as over 50 kids came over to have me pray for them. My whole cabin walked arm in arm together, worshiping the Lord with me. That was the first time I felt the Spirit of God working in and through me, taking my worst from my life and using it for His best to draw people to Him. There is no greater feeling in the world. No greater feeling. Man, for God to use that moment, and it didn't matter our backgrounds, white, black, we came together in the name of the Lord. Jesus Christ is the great reconciler, and we praise God together. It was a beautiful sight. I have to stop there. The rest of the story is great as well. It's pretty crazy, but you'll have to come to the men's retreat to hear it, I guess. or hope when the book is available at the end of the year, you can read the story. But the message I want to just leave with you is, if God can use a guy like me, I know God can do something amazing through you. If God could use a guy like me, I know he could do something amazing through you by just saying, yes, I was so unprepared. I was so unworthy. I was the totally wrong guy. But I said yes, and God used that first step to change me. Because God doesn't just call the equipped, he equips the called. God will never call us into something for which he hasn't already prepared to equip us. He never leads us into a battle that he isn't ready to dress us for accordingly. He never demands something of us without already considering how he will cover for our insufficiency. You don't have to have all the answers or know what your spiritual gifts are before you just start serving. Just say yes. If I want to be God's servant, his disciple, then I just need to follow the example of Jesus. He is the plumb line of my faith. I need to do what he says and do what he does. I need to be an imitator of God. Before I can be an imitator of God, I need to surrender my life to God, and I need to receive the gospel. And the gospel is good news, and many of you here, many of you have been coming to Crossline, and maybe you're searching for God, and maybe you haven't said yes to the gospel, to the good news of Jesus Christ. And what that is that God, being holy and man being unholy, there's a chasm between us, and that is sin that separates us from God. And it says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Who has sinned? All have sinned, all of us. And Romans 6:23 says this, our sin causes this. The wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then Romans 5:8 says this, but God demonstrates his love for us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So that bridge between a holy God and unholy mankind is made by Jesus. And that is the good news for us. And then Romans 10:9 says this, if you declare with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, you will be saved. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, you will be saved. It says that in Scripture, in the Bible. And then Romans 10:13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to call upon the name of the Lord today. Because before we can start being imitators of God, we need to surrender our life to God. And Romans 8:1, it's the best part of I love this verse. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Is the way you're living your life causing you to feel condemned? Well, Jesus is the answer. He is the bridge. And I pray that you'll receive him. Jesus came to pay a debt he did not owe because we owed a debt that we could not pay, no matter how good we are. Jesus came to pay a debt he did not owe because we owed a debt that we could not pay. And right now, I know there's somebody here that needs to surrender their life to God. And so I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And why don't we all just say the prayer together so nobody feels awkward? We'll say it out loud. And it's going to be on the screen. Just repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I believe you died for my sins. Right now I turn from my sins and open the door of my heart and life. I confess you as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, if you said yes to God and you surrendered to him, welcome to the kingdom of God. It's as simple as saying yes to him. And he bridges that gap and we become adopted as sons and daughters of God. And it's a beautiful thing. And now we're ready to be imitators of God. Let's look at how Jesus modeled being a servant. Let's look at that. In Matthew 20, it says this in the scripture. It says, Jesus called them together. And he said, you know what the rulers of the Gentiles You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. This is countercultural. Not using your power, not using your authority to lord it over people. We shouldn't be doing that. If there's one thing I want you to take away from this message, it's this. Jesus's expectation is imitation. Jesus's expectation for you when you leave here or right now is imitation. And that's what I want us to be as a body of Christ. That's what I want Crossline to be known for, that we are imitators of Jesus. If coming to serve was the driving force in the Son of Man, and he lives in you and us, and I pray that some of you said yes to Jesus when you just prayed, it makes sense that this force of service is alive and operating in his people. His point is powerful. If you're looking for people to meet your needs, you don't serve them. You use them or manipulate them to get your needs met. But if you are trusting in God alone to meet your needs, you are free to stop using people and start serving them. That's our goal. Key words from that passage, just as the Son. Jesus' expectation of his followers is imitation. And by the way he lived his life, that means serving the needs of others. That's what we need to be doing. Jesus is comparing culture versus Christ's definition of greatness. And then says, not so with you. Powerful compare and contrast on what our focus should be. We should focus on serving versus self. Jesus is saying, be great by being a servant, just like I am great by being a servant. If you want to be great, if you want to experience significance, if you want to be to fulfill the purpose for what you were created, serve others over serving yourself, but do it the way Jesus did. I'm never more like Jesus than when I'm serving another at the expense of my needs. Let me say that again. I'm never more like Jesus than when I'm serving another at the expense of my needs. It's amazing what God will do when you say yes. When I said yes to being a counselor at camp, the next year I was a counselor again. Then the next year I did fun time. Then the next year I did athletics. Then the next year I spoke. Then the next year I was the director of the camp. Me! I'm the guy from high school that people, I see my old friend, a friend in the first service. He was here, and I'm the guy like, oh, Greg in high school? There's no way he's a pastor. Not that guy. That was me. The fact that God uses me is just unbelievable to me. And God can use you in a powerful way. But I want to look at three ways Jesus served. I want to look at three ways that Jesus served. And if you have notes, you can follow along with me. But first, Jesus served humbly. Jesus served humbly. In Philippians 2, it says this. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He came from heaven to earth. Just the luxury of heaven in heaven, coming to earth in the form of a man. It reminds me of that song in the 90s, the late 90s, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I come to sing your praises. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. He came from heaven to earth to bless us. Just before his death, Jesus decided to give his followers a clear picture of the attitude they should have. He took off his outer garments, he got a basin of water, and he washed their feet. The 12 pairs of feet Jesus washed belonged to hairy men who walked through roads shared with all manner of livestock in a time before regular road cleaning or daily showers was a thing. Cleaning them would be a job of a servant or a lowly one at that. The disciples resisted the idea that their master and teacher should stoop to such a thankless task, but Jesus persisted. And we read about this in John 13. It says this, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is the messenger greater than one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." It's not about you. If no one's ever told that to you before, I'm here to tell you today. It's not about you. You will never be a good leader if you don't know how to be a good follower. You will never be a good leader if you don't know how to be a good follower. If Jesus humbled himself in this way, and even further in his death, then we also should humble in all that we do for him and others. So as we look to Jesus as our example on how we serve, first, Jesus served humbly. Second, in your notes, the fill-in is Jesus served sacrificially. Jesus served sacrificially. If you served at TVBS this past week, would you please stand up? Stand up. If you served at TVBS, please stand. Please stand. Thank you for your service. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you. You can have a seat. And we have so many people that serve in so many different areas here at Crossline. Now, I'm going to mention a few of those in a second. And thank you for your service. At COC, our Crossline Leadership Community, it gives us a night where we can cast vision for what we're doing and we get to thank all the leaders. And I'm so grateful as we worship together as servants of God. And I'm just so blessed. And I thank you. I can't thank you enough for your service here at Crossline. Our church exists because of servants like you. And thank you for that. Jesus gave up his life for you and me. That was the ultimate sacrifice. As we talk about Jesus served sacrificially. In Hebrews 12, it says this, "He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God." He endured the cross for you and me. It's interesting. The five words in the New Testament translated ministry, the word ministry, generally refer to servanthood or service given in love. Serving others is the very essence of ministry. All believers are called to ministry, all of us. And therefore, we are called to be servants for the glory of God. You know what? Living is giving. Living is giving. All else is selfishness and boredom. If there is one reason why I left an amazing job at QLogic Corporation and made the worst financial decision of my life, it was because service given in love is truly living. And that, when I experienced it with those kids in the cabin, and in different times I've said yes to something that I felt totally inadequate for, God has used me and blessed me, and it's God working through me, and it's just an amazing feeling that he would do that with me. And he wants to do that in your life. And it starts by saying yes to serving. When I was in the Marine Corps, I learned a very important leadership lesson. Rank is given to you to enable you to better serve those above you and below you. It is not given for people to serve you. Your rank, your position, your authority is not given for people to serve you. We have it backwards in the world. That's why you will never see a Marine Corps officer eat before his enlisted men. I'm not sure about the other branches of service, but in the Marine Corps officers don't eat before their enlisted men. Let's serve others by serving Christ. God the Father has served us by sacrificing Christ on the cross for our sins. And we should serve others by giving the gospel and our lives to them. Those who desire to be great in God's kingdom must be the servant of all. Those who desire to be great in God's kingdom must be the servant of all. The work we've been given is long and sometimes tiring. Like this past week at TVBS, or getting up early to make coffee here at Crossline, or serving in the food pantry, or our security and safety team, or guest services, or parking, or youth, or children's, or whatever area of service there is. There's a lot of them. And I'm not hitting all of them. But sometimes it receives little thanks or a recognition, and it may seem to count for little while it's being done, while you're taking the time, while you're doing it. Continuing in such work is a challenge none of us is up to on our own. But we are not on our own. Jesus gives us others to work beside, a glorious future to work toward, and a promise that our work is not in vain. And what I love, it's so true, Jesus gives us others to work beside. The one reason I love going to Haiti, because not only do I get to serve the people of Haiti, and then they give me way more than I could ever give them. It's just incredible to go. But the other thing that when I think about in February, the men's trip comes up, why do I want to go? Yes, I love the Haitian people. But you know what I also love? I love going with a group of brothers. Some I know really well and some I don't know. And then we work and we toil and we help and we love on other people and we give of ourselves and we see tragic things together and we have an experience together. It reminds me of being on mission in the Marine Corps. We're on mission to do something, but this is for the gospel. This is to serve people. And then God uses that time, and some of the best times is when afterwards, when we come back and we're sitting, we take a dip in a pool and we have dinner, and then we all get around and we sing worship songs and we talk about the day. And those moments with my brothers there in Haiti, that is a draw for me. That's what builds me up. I'm not alone. We're doing this together, and God uses that where two or more are gathered. But most importantly in all that, besides giving us each other, Jesus gives us himself, working in us and through us, so that we may be truly ready for whenever he comes. 1 Peter says this, "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." So we see that Jesus served humbly, Jesus served sacrificially, and thirdly, and your fill-in, Jesus served spontaneously. Jesus served spontaneously when it wasn't convenient. And I want to read you another story from my book, The Guide. This is in chapter 7. It's called Full Metal Jacket. I write about all the stories that happened to me fighting in combat. And towards the end of that chapter, I write a story called Sea Angels, and I want to share it with you. On April 29th, 1991, a killer super cyclone named Marian, one of the most powerful in history, hit off the southeast coast of Bangladesh and raged for 8 hours with wind speeds more than 150 miles an hour. A storm surged the height of 27 feet and an 8-foot tidal wave on top of it. Since we got to the Gulf region in January of 90, we were the last sustaining force to leave the Gulf. On May 17th, 1990, the 11th Marine Expeditionary Brigade and 5 ships, a third of our combat readiness, split off from the 5th Med to stay in the Gulf region as a strategic reserve for the final pullout of the region and be available for a possible evacuation mission in Ethiopia as things were heating up there. I was still attached to the RLT-5, which stayed with the 5th Med on ship. We would be heading home the way we came via the Indian Ocean and be ready to assist in Bangladesh if needed. It wasn't long after we got underway, heading home from combat, that we received the order to participate in Operation Sea Angel to aid the Bangladesh people. As we arrived on May 15th, the water was still brown, 10 miles out. Due to the shallow water, damaged sunken ships, many of them belonging to the Bangladesh Navy, blocking the port, we had to stop 6.8 miles off the Bangladesh shore. We could still see countless bodies and cattle from this vantage point. Just a fraction of the 145,000 people and the over 1 million cattle that had perished. After 2 weeks, all the bodies were puffed up like balloons. The skin looks white and almost burnt red with black veins. And the smell was overwhelming. To our amazement, on some of the sandbars and ridges and small islands that were covered with water, there were people on them that we rescued that had been surviving for 2 weeks in knee-high and waist-high water. They had grabbed debris trying to make structures to stay out of the water with their live children and with their dead family members floating next to them. It was so sad and devastating. We opened up our well deck on our ship. The landing craft, hovercraft, and helicopters started to deliver food and supplies to the over 1 million people left homeless. On the trip going ashore, as we get closer to the shore, the bodies of men and women and children, along with cattle and other livestock and debris from the million homes that were destroyed, were floating and moving back and forth in the waves of the water about 5 feet deep, as far as the eye could see. There were bodies everywhere, and the people were starving and gathered by the masses to receive aid. We were there for 2 weeks, and in that time offloaded 4,000 tons of food, emergency medical supplies, water, clothing, and building materials. I was moved by the resilience of the Bangladesh people in the face of such death and destruction. To bring people hope in the midst of a nightmare was a blessing. They called us angels from the sea. The loss of life and property was colossal. Destruction of the property was estimated about 4 billion US. It's one of the poorest countries in the world. Total deaths in the end are believed to have numbered 152,000, and a million were left homeless and without basic necessities. Going from war to helping people in need was a total contrast, but the carnage was worse. We helped Kuwait's people by removing a tyrant's military forces from their country with force and a gun. We helped Bangladesh's people by bringing needed hope, support, love, and food without a gun. We left the area on May 28th to finally head home. And I'll never forget the mark this little detour made on me. It was a blessing to be used in this way. I received a humanitarian service medal for participating in Operation Sea Angel. And that's what it was called. The U.S. Marines can be your greatest friend or your worst freaking nightmare. Man, what an incredible moment that was in my life, a marked moment in my life. And sometimes serving can be inconvenient. Here I am, just fought in combat, and when we were heading home, we started to sail home, and then we got the word we had to go to Bangladesh. I hadn't even heard of Bangladesh. I was 21 years old. I turned 21 on the ship in January of that year. The last thing I wanted to do was go to Bangladesh. I wanted to go home. And I was so traumatized by the things I already seen. It's the last thing I wanted to do. And then when we stepped into that, when God chose to put me there, it changed me. Because it's not about me. It's not about me going home. It's not about that I just served in combat. It's about helping people in need. And I got to pray with people as we're giving food. And the fact they called us from angels from the sea in my life, I had just become a Christian, it changed me. It's a beautiful thing. Sometimes serving can be inconvenient. Jesus served and took care of the needs as they came to him. When he fed the 5,000, he didn't want them to be hungry. When the woman pulled at his garment and was healed, when he was interrupted constantly by those in need, Jesus was spontaneous. So we need to be spontaneous. Jesus was spontaneous in healing the blind, the deaf, the sick, the injured, the infirmed. He was spontaneous when he casted out evil spirits. He was spontaneous when he was making spirits. That's a cool thing. He turned water into wine. He served people at the wedding. He was spontaneous when he controlled and walked on water by controlling the elements of nature. He was spontaneous when he raised people from the dead, including himself. There's a difference between expected service and unexpected service. And I want us to be a church that gives unexpected service to people. Don't just do don't do the expected, do the unexpected. You know, Chick-fil-A has a motto, second mile service. And I love when you go there and you say thank you, and they say, my pleasure. It's so nice. But they have this motto, second mile service, and it actually comes from scripture in the book of Matthew. It comes from the book of Matthew. And their goal, the primary goal for the restaurants is this. It's in writing. It says, have a positive influence on all who come in contact with Chick-fil-A and create raving fans by being remarkable. That's their goal for every store. And they get it out of Matthew 5, and it says this. You have heard that it was said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over the coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You know what? Let's be a church who does unexpected service for people. And let's shock people with our service. Go the second mile for people. I want Crossline to be a place where our goal is this. And I took the Chick-fil-A one and I rewrote it. Have a positive influence on all we come in contact with in and outside of Crossline. And create loving relationships by sharing the remarkable love of God. That's what I want this church to represent. That's what your pastors want. We want to be known for being a loving church. Why do we do all this? Why do we do all this? For the sake of the gospel, for that opportunity to bring one person who is living in darkness like I was into the light of Christ. You can take a guy like me and use him, a girl and a guy like you. 1 Corinthians says this, for though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessing. Jesus walked hundreds of miles. He likely often slept on the ground. He was pawed at by people. He got dirty. He had to deal with the bickering of his co-workers, his disciples. He washed his followers' grimy, smelly feet. He did what was needed to advance the gospel. While pursuing the end, there was no task beneath him. While he was pursuing what he was here to do, there was no task beneath him. Likewise, Christ's followers should have no limits to their willingness to serve. Whatever that means, going abroad or going into a not-so-nice part of town or giving to missions or giving up free time, changing a tire or changing a diaper in our nursery. At Crossline, we have a bunch of ways to serve here. And there's a card, it's called Crossline Serving Opportunities. And on there it says guest services, hospitality, care, missions and outreach, children, youth, adult ministries, pastoral counseling, financial peace, prayer team, safety, Crossline Creatives. We just heard about that. There's a meeting this Thursday. Worship community, weddings and memorials. There's all these ways to serve. And what I would like is for us to leave here in service. And in this group of people, there's three groups of us. And the first group is if you're not serving, your action step, I would ask and implore you, is after the service, I would like you to go to the Connect booth outside, and there is these Crossline serving opportunities. On the back, there's a list of items. Check off the ones you think you're interested in, and just start to serve. Just start serving God and see what He does. He's going to do awesome things through you by just you saying yes. And the second group of people I want to talk to is those that are serving. Thank you for your service. And what I want you to do is I want you to think about the area of service that you're serving in. And while you're continuing to serve, think about, is this the best place for me to serve at Crossline? And I would take a spiritual gifts test and see, hey, do I fit? Is there something else I could do instead or do at the same time? So think about how you can serve in different areas at Crossline, or if God has put you where He's put you in the area you're serving now. And the third group I want to talk to is if you used to serve and say to yourself, I have already served enough and I'm burnt out, or I used to serve and I'm all good. You know, I understand that there's medical reasons why people can't serve, but your action step is I'd like you to go to the booth and sign up. Jump back into service and watch your zeal and spiritual fervor soar. You want to be excited about your walk in Christ, serve people. Romans 12:11, it says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. How? By serving the Lord. That's what it says in the scripture, by serving God. As imitators of God, let's never forget that Jesus served humbly, Jesus served sacrificially, and Jesus served spontaneously. I want to remind you of how I started this message. Jesus equips us for service. Jesus equips the called. You don't have to have everything in line before you start serving. Just start, just say yes, just like I did all those years ago. Your best ability is your availability. Your best ability is not what you went to school for, not what you make all your money doing. Your best ability is your availability in the kingdom of God. Your best ability is your availability. Say yes to God. That is the opposite of the culture in the world. When you're hiring someone to make important repairs or improvements to your house or car, you want someone who's spent hours learning and perfecting that craft and is respected in their field. You wouldn't take on someone with no experience. However, that's exactly what Jesus does. He is taking on complete novices like me with no real experience in the work of God whatsoever. Provisionally, through Scripture, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and the ministry of the church, God offers on-the-job training. I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful that he takes our worst and he uses it for our best. I used to stutter. I was not a leader. I was insecure and was afraid to speak up for myself. And it's funny, I remember my mom was talking to my grandma one time and said, "Oh yeah, Greg's gonna, go in the ministry." She says, "Well, how can he be in the ministry? He stutters, you know?" Thanks, Grandma. So, my grandma, I love my grandma. She's departed us, but thanks for the encouragement on that, you know? But just to show, man, that God takes us and he does something amazing through us because it's him that's working us. It's not about us. Jesus completed the work of salvation for us on the cross, brings us into it, gives us the Holy Spirit as our counselor, and sets us about his business. He has finished the work of our salvation, but he still calls us to work for his kingdom. Therefore, with gratitude and love, we train to be the most effective servants possible. We train by doing. We train by doing, and that's done by starting. We just got to start and say yes. 1 Corinthians 9, it says, "Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many people as possible." The best thing about serving is service leads to evangelism, and service is its own witness. One of the best gospel tools for winning others is serving others in the Spirit of Christ. Jesus didn't come to get, but to give. We need to do the same. That is what he is calling us to do individually and as a church family. It will be a sign of the Holy Spirit in you and among us as a body. Could you imagine what happens if all of us step into service here at Crossline and outside of Crossline in love? People will say, "What's going on at Crossline Church? What's happening there?" You follow King Jesus who serves. His dream for you is to join him in service. How? Humbly, sacrificially, and spontaneously. You know, Ignatius of Loyola said something. He wrote something down, and it's pretty profound, and I want to read it to you. It says this: "Teach us, good Lord, to serve as you deserve, to give and not count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not seek for rest, to labor and not ask for reward, except for knowing that we do your will." Those are powerful words. And as I close this message, I want us to stand. Could you stand right now? And what I want us to do as a body of Christ is I want us to say those words out loud together. It says this: "Teach us, good Lord, to serve as you deserve, to give and not count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not seek for rest, to labor and not ask for reward, except for knowing that we do your will." Would you pray with me? Lord, we are so grateful for your kingdom, God. We are so thankful at the opportunity, Lord, to serve you. Thank you for being a model for us. Thank you for being an example. Lord, I pray for every single person that can hear my voice. I pray that, Lord, that you would have him step into service today. Lord, that they would say yes to it, Lord God, and you would do an incredible work in their lives, Lord God, that you would bring zeal and joy, and that they would start to see you work in their lives, Lord God, like you worked in my life, God, part by part, bit by bit, Lord God. You grew me and you molded me into who I am now, Lord God, and I'm still a piece of work, but Lord God, it's you working in me. Thank you for that. Lord, touch every single person here. Lord, help us to leave here serving humbly, Lord, sacrificially and spontaneously. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this day and this time. In Jesus' name we pray. And we all said, amen. Amen.